Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 20th of February, 2024. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter. And you can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube, join in the chat box, like and subscribe, all that good stuff. We love interacting and hearing what you have to say about the show. On this week's show, it was a loss in Altrincham, but we hit back with a shutout at home. Mixed fortunes against the Storm and a lot to look over. We'll hit those in a minute. Kieran Long will be popping by. Fife and Nottingham are this week's opponents, and we'll have some news and all that crack. We were hoping to have Shane Owen on the show. Unfortunately, he's unable now to join us, but we will be doing an interview with him later in the week, and we'll be sharing that on our socials. I'll come back to that later in the show. Like I say, if you're watching live on YouTube or Facebook, get involved in the chat box, send us messages. I'm monitoring Twitter and stuff like that. There'll be a part later in the show. We're going to take your comments and your discussion points. We'll have a wee chat around those. I'm delighted to be joined by a lineup that rivals the definition of Saturday night. How are you doing, Sis?
Very good, Paddy.
Yeah. How you doing, Sis? You're right.
The definition Saturday night.
Did you go straight to the Devonish after the show? No.
After the show, was it David question? He was in Belfast.
No, no, it's a big delay on Sis' feed there. I don't know what's going on.
I was playing snooker with Roy the Builder on Saturday night. I've got an alibi.
And Mr. McGimsey, one thing I just want to give you a bit of the floor here, because Saturday was not just a day for hockey. You made your final appearance for your true love in Dundonald.
Did I?
Yeah, tell us about it, mate.
No.
Tough one.
It was a really lovely day. I've been playing adult football for the guts of 30 years, and I've played for some good teams, some not so good teams. But I've been in England obviously 10 years or so, but like, my heart's always going to be in Dundonald, and they were very, very good to me to let me go and play one more time for them, and it meant an awful lot. I'll buy out. It was a really good experience, and I appreciate
Bowed
it.
Bowed as captain and with a goal, I believe.
I got one from the penalty spot. Yes, they got a penalty, and they talked me into It was look, it hit the back of net. That's all that counts. The goalie pushed it in the top corner. It wasn't going in the top corner, but he threw it in the top corner for me. So I guess really, they give me the armband, scored a goal for my beloved Dundonald, and it's now time to concentrate on the girls and their sports on a Saturday afternoon. I've been pretty selfish for the last 20 odd years keeping going, but I'm very fortunate at 48 to still be able to play at a decent standard, and only ever had the one bad injury. I don't know if I ever told you about it, but
what happened? I
broke a leg back in 2013, so I was lucky to get another listen. I got another 10 years after that, and thanks for mentioning Paddy, but yes, it's still quite close to the surface there, the pain. So it is.
Retirement's a tough thing when it comes to sport, but
actually this podcast is quite a good I talk to players often about when the lights go out, you know, that brilliant podcast that's on BBC Five Live about how players that have dealt with, spoke actually Dustin Johnner, Paddy, that or says that lovely chat we had with Johnner the other week, how you deal with, and I know this is on a completely different level because I'm amateur football, these are professionals, but in some ways when you've done it for so long, when you've done it as a boy and then right through your man, like from I've been 4 years old, I've been playing organized football, and it becomes intrinsically a part of you, and whenever you try to think to stop, because I wish I'd stopped a few years ago, but it just couldn't. I didn't know, I struggle with the mental side of what I was going to be after I wasn't Davy the footballer anymore, even though it's only an amateur, you know, but I struggle with that, and just it came at a really nice time for me to say now's a good time to stop, and Dundonald were amazing to me at the weekend. They're a great experience to be able to do it, and it's all over, mate. But yeah, I appreciated it. It was great.
No, mate, listen, absolutely. Congratulations on a sparkling career. And yeah. I just thought it's well worth mentioning, mate. Freddie, nice one.
Thank you.
Right. Let's get cracking.
I'm all right too, Paddy.
Oh, sorry. Well, I started with
you. He went to you first.
I went to you first.
I can't remember. Look, I'm just mentioning that wee gimp there. David McGimsey, as it keeps on coming up on my phone, when you ask him to call, the Siri does not recognize my accent when I say can call David McGimsey. I have to say David McGimsey, but that's besides the point. He didn't tell me that he was playing on Saturday because I'd have went and watched him. I was sat in the house Saturday afternoon doing nothing, so and I went and watched him, but unfortunately, he didn't tell me he was playing.
That was brilliant too. You thought it was dying, didn't you? What a bit of chicken.
Yeah, I seen the chicken and beans, and I'm going, what? I said one last time, and I'm going, what's he doing? What? And I tried to send him a text, didn't hear from him for about 5 hours, and then all of a sudden I seen that he's right. Okay, makes sense.
I know this is a podcast about the Belfast Giants, but I suppose there's a little bit of us as well. I always had chicken and beans, Paddy, pre-match meal before every football game for the last 30 years, chicken and beans. So I'd had my chicken and beans on Saturday pre-game, and I took a picture of him one last time, and Taff thought it was dying. He's texted Sis texted me. I didn't reply. He thought I'd pop my clogs, but it turned out it was just having a game of football, so it wasn't that bad.
Mate, chicken and beans, just for like a pre-match.
Shearer did it. Same as Shearer.
Shearer?
He did all right.
Yeah, never heard him.
And talking to Shearers, we've got a Shearer on tonight.
Let's get to that straight away. There's a reason which I'll come to when we bring him in. We'll deal with the Manchester game shortly, but we are joined right now, top of the show, by the one, the only, Kieran Long. How are you, mate?
All good, lads. All good. How are we all?
All good. You okay, mate? It's a bit of a ticking time bomb in your house at the minute.
Yeah, you know, Joe wrote his jabs today, so he's a bit unhappy with everything that's going on today. So it's been a stressful day, nonetheless.
I hated that part. Sorry, buddy. Oh, yeah. Watching Jasmine getting injections from, and then gurning her eyes out. I hate needles. I'm really not good with needles at all. So trying to watch the needle, you know, go into piercing her wee skin, when God, it's 19 years ago now. But I just wanted to rip the doctor's head off. So
yeah, no, it wasn't too pleasant watching that, for sure.
No, it's it really isn't. I remember, I think it was Declan got one on each arm on the same day, And it was just horrible time. That was going to be my first question, mate. Congratulations on the little one. How are you finding the juggle of fatherhood, working, and hockey?
Yeah, you know, it's. I mean, I have to thank Hannah a lot because she's taken a lot of the fall with Joni. You know, she has some long stressful days, whereas I'm able to sneak out the house, play hockey, go to work, and then come back to a baby that's cried himself out throughout the day, so he's been all right during the evenings. So, but yeah, single parents is why I don't know how anybody does it. Like, it's crazy amount of stress and effort. And yeah, props to anyone.
Absolutely. Give us your take on the weekend, or the weekend, the last week, the two games against the Manchester Storm.
Yeah, so if we go back to Wednesday, yeah, like the first two periods of Manchester, I mean, probably two of the best periods, I think, as a Belfast team we've ever played in Manchester. And then you know how it goes in bench, anything. I think there was a previous year we were up maybe even 5-0.
5-1, man. I remember.
Yeah, it was awful. But yeah, so anything can happen in that rink within like literally a switch of a light bulb. But yeah, so it was just, I don't even think it was a sloppy third. I think it was just more like a goal. We conceded a goal, and then it was like maybe a slight bit of panic snuck in. But then, yeah, I think we just need to try and be a little bit more composed in those instances. You know, coming up towards playoffs, we're going to have to be able to finish off games that were up only by a goal or two.
Is it a lessons learned thing, Longer? Because I was talking to Paddy. Was it Paddy? It was just at the very, very start of the third period. I was confident, like, with first 10 minutes aside, which went sort of both ways, both teams had chances. The second 10 minutes of the first period and the whole of the second period, like, I felt they were almost dominant, and a little bit like Coventry pre-Christmas and a couple of other really strong second periods we'd had. And everybody was up for the third period, and I didn't see, and Paddy said to me, this rink is chaotic, anything can happen, so don't count your chickens yet. And 3 minutes later, we're 3-2 down. It was just like, what happened? Is that just a lessons learned going down the stretch here?
Yeah, it's definitely lessons learned. And, you know, we went into that game. I mean, we had a handful of guys. So even like OC's been with us the last full season, and that was his first time in Manch. You know, there was a good few guys' first time in Manchester. So to get it so late on in the season, you know, it is a bit of a different... I mean, it's not an excuse, but it's, you know, to have the experience of playing in such a small rink, to then go into like the big ones, it is crucial. And yeah, you know, I guess guys just weren't expecting things to happen that quick.
And I guess too, obviously from the Sunday night, we'd had a fairly decent weekend the previous weekend. We'd lost Naz, we'd lost David Goodwin, we'd lost Hank as well. So there's a little bit of adversity as well there.
Yeah, definitely. I know it was we lost those three boys and gained the GB boys back. It was a bit like, well, we didn't really gain a whole lot back because we lost bodies and gained pretty much the same amount of people back. But yeah, you know, last season's been pretty tough with injuries. I mean, you can write itself with bloody Taff even breaking his leg. I mean, team's equipment guys are going to break their legs. But, you know, yeah, that's just part of the journey, and you know, I still believe that we've got a good journey ahead of us.
Hi, Kieran, big fan. You know, when we're looking around the locker room, and you've got guys there who you've been around a long time now. Obviously, you know, you're getting on a bit, but when you've got a lot of guys there, and because of the history we've had over the last few years and winning, and now having the A in your chest, how much of added responsibility do you feel that you're passing, not so much knowledge down to them, but you literally, because you do go think about things the right way. You work hard in practice, you work hard in games, but how do you translate that to the guys that are coming in who maybe never won before?
Yeah, you know, I just tried to do what I do, you know. I try not to change a whole lot. But I always try to lead by example by, you know, working hard in practice. I'm a big believer in that how you practice is how you preach. So yeah, and like the systems have worked, and we even through this year we've seen that the systems work. It's just sometimes, you know, with the different lines and stuff coming in because of injuries and stuff, you lose a bit of chemistry. And you know, we need lines like, you know, our top lines usually the last couple of years have pretty much played together the whole season. So yeah, it's a tough one, but yeah, I would just try to tell the boys during practice, work hard and stuff will happen.
You see, we're obviously where we're at this year, and you know, we're again, we've been spoiled over the last few years. You know, yeah, we've been behind, and ultimately, like, I think it's fair to say Sheffield are romping away with things at the minute. But as you go down the stretch, and you know, with, what is it, 16 games left, I think it is, 16, 17 games left, 10 of them at home. And when you're looking at trying to create a bit more consistency, and you know, you win two games last weekend, you go into into Manchester in a really strong position, 2-0 up, get beat 5-2, get them back to the arena, come out with a 3-0 result in your favour, and obviously move on to the next one. But we need to get on that run. We need to start getting guys healthy, and hopefully we're not far away from a few of them getting back in the lineup very, very soon. But it's important that we do try and find some consistency going into those last, technically, and hopefully, four games of the season.
Oh, yeah, massively. You know, even so, like, the year we lost it in playoffs when we only got a double, you know, that was a learning curve. You know, it's hard. You know, you win the league and you have that celebration of winning the league, and then it's like, oh, so much pressure's taken off of you. And then you're almost, it's a hard, like, you, obviously you want to win the game, like the playoff game, but you know, it's because that league title is so stressful throughout the whole year and whatnot. It kind of is like a little bit of a release after winning the league. So then we learned in the playoffs that we didn't play our best game that year. So yeah, I think Cardiff did deserve to win in the end. But then we learned for the next year that, you know, we had to stay focused and not get too excited with winning the league and the cup kind of thing. And then I think I was speaking to Georgie. Did Georgie's Belfast team win the league pretty early on?
Yes, because, well, no, it was at the Thiel year.
George won at the Thiel, yeah, in 2005, yeah. Where they went to the playoff final. Playoff semi-final,
but won it in Nottingham, but relatively early on.
Yeah, so he was just saying like how difficult it was. Like, they won the league so early, and then it was like everyone kind of not fully shut down, but then come towards the playoffs, you can't just switch it back on. So it was like, that's a nice little tool to have in your head to try and get the boys like, right, we can't just switch it on when it comes to playoffs. We need to start building that consistency now.
What's the frustration? There must be a level of frustration, because obviously, you know, we go through last number of years and the successes that we've had, and there are reasons behind where we are right now, but there must be a high level of frustration that's the case.
There's always going to be frustration. I mean, no matter who you play for or where you're playing, you know, everybody wants to win, right? No one plays just for the sake of playing. Yeah, there's definitely levels of frustration, but at the same time, you have to try your best not to let those little things slip into your head and affect what could happen in the future kind of thing.
We have a question come in from Stephen Mills there, watching live. It says, how much harder is it to get prepped for a game when you have a baby at home? Always wanted to see him for Besco. Congratulations again.
Thank you, Stephen. I've never really been too superstitious, so, you know, it's pretty easy for me, in all honesty. I'm not a huge napper. I mean, I nap now once I get the away games in, because I need
take them when you can get them, man.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's just, I try and just, you know, try not to let anything affect me mentally for the hockey kind of thing. You know, I try to switch my brain on once I'm at the rink.
So talk me through the rest this week, Longer. A couple of days off and then Thursday back, really at it, tuning in for a couple of big games this weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll be probably go for, I'm working tomorrow anyway, so get booked in, people. We'll just practice hard. We've got Fife at home, Nottingham away, is it, this weekend? We'll focus on those games, do our video and stuff, and do our homework and get ready for it.
Well, as you say, it's about getting a little bit of momentum, a little bit of positivity, and I guess hoping that some of these bodies that are still sitting on the sidelines, the likes of the captain sitting on the sidelines, it's another week ticked off the, towards his recovery.
Yeah, and he's going to be a huge impact coming back, and if we manage to get Princey back as well, that's two big bodies. They both block shots, drive pucks deep, the power forwards, and power forwards are crucial to the way we play. So it'll be massive.
Even just their addition on Mark Cooper on the power play, it was clicking very early in the season. It's gone through and downs. It would be a very good way of putting it, but Mark Cooper just standing in his office there on that power play trying to get the puck down low there, it'd be crucial coming back.
Yeah, massively. Coops has obviously proven to everyone over the last 2 years what he can do, so I don't really need to big him up too much, but he's going to be a massive impact player when he comes back, and he's definitely a leader on the ice and off the ice, so I think we're all looking forward to getting him back.
Am I led to believe that he actually cut his own hair the other day?
He did. He, but
that's the options. That's the option.
Yeah. I cut my whole own hair every 2 weeks, mate.
I know. I should do the same, but I work in a barbershop, so I have to get someone else to do it. But no, he did it himself. I wasn't available, that's why. So
too busy. Just too busy.
Yeah, I gave.
Where do we go from? Yeah, where do we go from here? Obviously we're sitting in third place, aren't we? Is it third?
Yes,
third.
Yeah, we're sitting in third place. Obviously, I think everybody's frustrated the way the season's gone. We just haven't been able to get a real run of games going after, winning those 13 games in a row at the start of the season, coming off the back of three CHL losses, and then just going on that run. What's changed with regards to? And obviously, yes, we understand the injury side of things. And that, I hate stealing Davey's thunder regarding his stats. He's a bit precious that way. But when we're speaking to me the other day, and I think I'm not 100%, so Davey's going to have to double check it. But I think we've missed 274 games of injured players this year already. And that's just absolutely ridiculous number. So basically, if you look at, Elijah Barriga played four games. He's missed now 47, 48, maybe 52 games we played this year now. Mark Garside's exactly the same. Yeah, Madge Genron's missed, I think he's only played about 18 or 19 games. It's absolutely unbelievable. But how have we went from winning 13 in a row to struggling to try and get three or four in a row at the minute?
Honestly, that's a difficult question. That's the frustrating question everyone has, and we're literally working tirelessly behind, obviously, closed doors to make these wrongs right. And you do see the glimpses of us bringing it back, and then, we end up having an odd game here or there where it kind of goes back to the bad stuff. But, I think... As you boys have said, have you boys watched Ted Lasso?
Absolutely.
I think the best quote from that was "be a goldfish," and I think some guys need to have that kind of mentality. I think a lot of the guys beat himself up a little bit inside, not openly, so we can see it. But I think there are guys that are beating themselves up inside, and I think you kind of have to let go of the past to let the future unveil itself, kind of thing.
Longer, I don't know if you're on social media.
That was an unbelievable quote, by the way. I just made that up on the spot. Yeah,
just make that up?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that tattooed or something. You
know? Get on the wall behind me.
Yeah.
Look at when you look down the line of again, all those injuries that have occurred, I don't know if you're on social media. If you are, you're not very active on it. But when you see, if you're on social media and you see comments coming from players, not so much players, sorry, fans who are having a go at the way the team are playing,
and we're all frustrated over it. You know, it's definitely hard to take as a guy who works with closely with the team. And Davey, and you know, doing all the stats, and every single week he's putting hours in it. We do the podcast every week. Paddy's exactly the same. We put all these hours into it, and we're all frustrated. And it's difficult to come on here every week and say the same thing, the games, and you know, it is. I mean, I don't know how Paddy and Davey feel about it. But that's the way I'm feeling. You know, you're sort of trying to. You're not coming on here to absolutely rip you one as much as I rip you one in the dressing room all the time because you're a gimp. But you know, it's sometimes hard to take, but. How hard is it with the way things have changed? Again, you've went with the flow. Social media's got more and more impactful, and people putting views on there. What's your view on the whole situation with regards to fans having their say, which, again, they're entitled to have their say, but is there a line that they should maybe think about before they cross? Because, that's just the question I'm looking, trying to get clarified.
So I think... You know, social media is definitely a very powerful tool now on the internet. And, you know, I wouldn't dare have Jonah on social media until as old as possible, because some of the stuff you do see on there is awful. But from a fan point of perspective, you know, like I learned from, like, if you remember the hockey forum was around.
Yeah.
I would read that when I was like 16, and I had people commenting about how bad I played. But I mean, I was 16 years old playing in the EPL. Like, give me a break. But at that time, I was taking it bad, and it would affect me a little bit more. So I learned at a young age just not to, you know, read into stuff. And, you know, and then also being a big football fan, I've had my certain say on footballers as well. So, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I think you just need to be able to take things with a pinch of salt and not get upset about everything that some people say.
Listen, we really do appreciate your time here. One more comment in from a Michael Barr, who says, "Hi, Longer, what's it like being a star?"
I am not a star. I am a barber who plays hockey.
What's the hat all about?
The hat was a freebie off a nice friend of mine. Taff gave it to me. Kitchy gave it to me.
Let's have a look at it.
North Coast NI.
Yes.
North Coast NI.
Yeah, you know, I'm just pretty much.
Is it a place or a company? Is this advertising?
It's a company up in Portrush. They do a lot of. I mean, younger generation clothes. That's why I give it to him. Plus, that wouldn't fit. It's like a
so, so, so on like melon. Me is what you're saying.
I wouldn't fit my head.
People like me.
Something like that, Paddy. Nice, but no, they're based up in Portrush, and we're trying to get something done with them at the minute too. I don't want to spoil anything, so we're looking to maybe try and do something with them at the minute. But they give us a few bits and pieces to hand out, the boys and Mr. Long's wearing one of their caps.
Fantastic. Longer, listen, really appreciate your time. Big thanks to Hannah for running interference. Yes. And good luck for the rest of the night. And
thank you. See you. Definitely going to need it. No, thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, Longer. Big thanks to Kieran Long, as always. Always good fun having him on the show. And he set up what we've got pretty well.
I was hoping you were going to say, we've kind of covered games now. any other business?
Let's have a look at them. We'll start with the game that took place on Wednesday, just down the road from me here in Aldringham, where I got to see Mr. Majemsey. And I say it was a 2-0 lead after the first period for the Belfast Giants, with Jeff Baum knocking it out of the air and Cameron Pound with his first professional goal. And all was okay until the third period. And you're right, Davey. As I said, you take nothing for granted in that rink. When they get momentum behind them, it just sort of snowballs. And that's exactly what happened. Dallas Earhart in the power play, Joe Morrow in the power play, Lauren Ullett in the power play, Samuel Tremblay, and then Tyler Hinnom with an empty netter made it 5-2. To the Manchester Storm. In goals, Tanner Bescaroni, 34 shots on, 5 goals against.
Jackson Whistle.
sorry, Jackson Whistle, my mistake. Jackson Whistle, 34-5. Evan Wenger, 36-2. Your two referees were Chris Wells and the best referee from the Northeast, as I was told in person, Steve Brown. Davey, never take anything for granted in that rink, ever.
I learned that lesson from you on, what was it, Wednesday night, Valentine's night? We all spent Valentine's night with the Belfast Giants.
Love to see you, mate. Love to see you.
Our true love. and honestly, mate, as I said when we were talking to Kieran there, first 10 minutes were a bit choppy. Either way, opportunities going both ways, up and down the ice. Both goaltenders made good saves. And then the Giants kind of just took over the game. And as you said, it can be chaotic in that rink. Things happen fast. But, you know, the Giants really took control. We broke from end to end very quick. That first goal comes from, I think, from a rush, possibly from Matt McLeod.
Yep.
And it pops up in the air, Jeff Baum falling in. And then the second one, you've got the same kind of idea. You know, Cameron Prime breaking down the left wing. And puts us 2-0. And honestly, I genuinely thought we were good value for it, and we were fairly comfortable. And then we obviously would take bad penalties. We talked about in the break about, you know, staying disciplined, and there's the goal, you know, the Valentine shirt, the ball pops up, the puck pops up, and Jeff Baum's on standby there just to pop it in. You know, the big bodies like Brian playing up front, as he did on Sunday, causing a bit of havoc. And, you know, it just, as they went out in that second period, I was kind of thinking, right, the race to five is a good bet here, but it just wasn't expecting us to concede five goals to the Storm inside those 20 minutes. Now, we had opportunities in that third period, even when it went to two each, even though there was only a minute in between. You know, we've gone on a power play, conceded shorthanded, which has been a bit of an Achilles heel over the last four or five games. Although the penalty kill on Sunday was exceptional. And then even at that 3-2 down, we had opportunities. We've hit posts and we've created. But unfortunately, then you roll the dice with the empty netter and they go to 4-2. And then, you know, you're pushing everything to try and get back into it. Too big a hill to climb. But it just the speed at which it turned, Paddy, was unbelievable. You know where I was standing? You'd walked round about 2 minutes previous and I was like, but what happened? I couldn't believe it. You know, it was. I could not believe what I was seeing in that first 5 minutes of the third period. I can't really fathom it.
What Manchester do well in that rink is spoil, especially in the neutral zone, and getting sticks in the way and kill. Like you say about, you know, and I agree with you. I think in those first two periods we were excellent. It did take us around 10 minutes to register a shot on goal. Like it started off quite cagey, and the McLeod shot followed by Baum putting it in was probably our first or second shot on Wenger at that point, you know. And but what I said, I know I did a bit of a Twitter Spaces sort of thing afterwards, and I was saying on that, things can snowball in that rink. They really can. If they get an early goal and get momentum behind them, we have seen time and time again where the Manchester Storm know how to play on that ice. It's one of the things we spoke to Matt Ginn about just last week, about, you know, making that home ice fortress for them and being able to use it as like because they know how to play on it. It's soft, it's difficult, and they know how to, you know, use that small rink. Says your thoughts.
Yeah, you just knocked the nail on the head. They know how to use it, and they know how to use it to their advantage. Some of our guys are used to playing on a rink that size, believe it or not, because in North America, obviously, we play in the Olympic size rink, which is wider for defensemen, and trying to get used to it can be disorientating on occasion as well. But there's no excuse for the way we probably collapsed a bit. You know, you always like to try and win your battle. You like to win your battles with, the penalty kill, and you like the special teams. You like to win those battles, and you know, three power play goals in the third period against us. I know Jackson's going to want at least one or two of them back. Let's be honest, and you know he's big and brave enough to hold his arms up and on occasions like that. But it just when you even plays like this, you know, you basically take a trip and call on that. They go back on the power play again. They get another goal. They get the extra skater on. Actually, I think in this one, they basically come up with another goal to make a 3-2. And that's the things that, you know, the heads go down. We've been in this position before where we've been up this year, and mentally, teams have caught us up
the perfect ones, the Coventry 4-0 lead in 20th of December, that'll be ingrained in my head for a long, long time. You know, we were absolutely dominating them in that in the 40-minute mark. And in the third period, we scored a couple more goals, and we thought it was all over. And even being 2-0 up in a building like this, see if you're 4 or 5-0 up in a building like that and they get going, it's tough to stop them. It really is tough to stop them. But I just thought we lacked a bit of the mentally. We sort of just switched off on a lot of occasions. You guys were there. You know, it's difficult watching on the webcast and what it is being there. And you know, as I said, the Apollo, I sent the message to our group. Oh, God, it looks like there was nobody in that building, the way the camera was looking at it. And then you said, oh, God, no, the ones on the other side. And when they scored that first goal, I heard it. I literally heard it. And you could feel it. The energy building in the building. They get a second one very quickly. I think it was Sato took a tripping call, you know, to give them another opportunity. But when you're there and you're down, you're 2-0 up, going into that game, third period, we should be doing better. Let's be honest. I mean, I know, I listened to Adam's interview after the game, and you can see how disappointed he was with it. But you can't take stupid, lazy penalties in a situation like that, especially in that barn, because it's a... They're going to take more points off people. They said it last week. You sort of expected a reaction after Ryan Finnerty had a go at them in the on the social media. We talked about it last Tuesday night with Ginner. But you know, when he basically had a go at his players, you sort of expected a reaction, and he absolutely got that. And I think he'd be delighted because they went on to win on Saturday night before coming back into Belfast on Sunday.
Let's hear those post game remarks from the coaches.
40 minutes. I loved our team's performance. Thought we were very good for 40 minutes. Take two penalties. Puck ends up in the back of the net. Game changes, and we lost our composure. Now that's some mental mistakes there. Put us down 3-2, and then another mental mistake puts us down 4-2. Kind of puts the game out of hand. Had a good pushback, hit a couple posts, but too little, too late. Didn't get rewarded for it. Got to learn to keep your composure there, you know, when they get that first power play goal, and then can't take the second power play or take the second penalty, put them back on the power play when they're riding momentum, you know, and that's the game. But first 40 minutes, I thought I saw a lot of good. I feel for them, but you got to play for a full 60, and you can't go -3 on special teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were necessarily poor in the first period. It looked a little nervy, maybe. Obviously, grew into the game. I thought Belfast was really good for the first two periods there. They were kind of smothering. Wasn't a lot of open ice out there. And then third period, power play got us going. Big goal there. They got a couple to get us back. And you could just feel the kind of life on the bench grow, the energy. And obviously, that was our best period there. We were more direct. We were able to get some pucks in behind them there. And we just skated. We kept coming at them. The second period, the puck wasn't really bouncing for us, but we stayed with it, which I think is kind of a different from the last weekend there, where we kind of got off script and started maybe getting frustrated. Where tonight you could see we stayed pretty calm on the bench and just kept working, putting shifts together, and that's the result. Proud of the guys, the response there after a tough game on Sunday at home. So that one feels good. Quick turnaround though. Have to take care of ourselves and have Dundee coming in, and that'll be a tough game as well.
One point before we quickly move on, gents, is the attendance. I know you mentioned it there, says in regards to the people, but for a Wednesday night in Altrincham, the number of Belfast Giants fans that have travelled over, and the one there is one of the biggest attendance I'd seen, certainly midweek. I know half term here as well with regards to Trafford and Stockport. So I know that Manchester take a bit of advantage of that, which is great. But I'd not seen that many midweek in Manchester for a long, 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 long time. And credit to all those who had travelled over, all those Giants fans who had made that trip over to Altrincham for that. It was great. And you, Davey, coming up to help out with Taff and all the way from Bristol.
I think it was about 1,700 or so there. And I'm sure, easy 50-plus Giants fans.
Easy.
It was great to see. I think one thing that we have had, even though we've had, you know, our problems on the ice this season, we have been well followed in away rinks. I've been fortunate over the last couple of months to be able to get up to a few more games. And yes, it was a bit of a long drive home on Sunday or on on, or sorry, back to Bristol, not home. I was home at the weekend. Even though it was a long drive back to Bristol on whatever Wednesday night, it was good to see so many Giants fans packed out that away end and cheering the team right to the end there. Even I still that was giving me flashbacks there watching those highlights there. A 3-2 down, we were still in that game. We didn't stop trucking. The boys on the bench still went out every shift, and it was just, I think it was Adam saying in his post game there, little mental mistakes, little penalties that probably wouldn't want to be taken. Probably spend all week working on not taking those sort of penalties, and then there are the mental mistakes Adam talks about. You take a stupid penalty, you throw a stick in and cause a trip, have a little hook, have a little slash, you know. And refs are hot on those things. Refs are hot on those little infractions rather than maybe sometimes necessary the big infractions. And those little ones get cost, and they're costly. They were costly that night. And Simon said, you know, even that last one there, I can't remember which goal it was, somebody comes around and shoots a puck straight up the middle of the ice. There, a guy standing in the slot, and bang, bang, it's in the back of the net. Instead of, it's very easy to say, man, shoot it round the boards, put it off a glass. But that's, you know, probably what the coach is saying in his head there, or maybe not in his head, but you know, we've got to be cuter in and around our own net defensively. And me and Simon talked about, like, we're playing 8D, you know, couple of D playing up front. We're still struggling. We're still forcing our way through these injury problems, whether you like it or not, want to call it out as injury problems or not. No excuse organisation. We've got the players we've got. You got to go out and compete. Thought the compete level was okay. But just as the coach said himself, there's a few little mental mistakes that ultimately cost us. That the tide turned too quick and we couldn't stop it. That's what it is.
Highlights from that game are available on YouTube from Storm TV. We move on to Sunday, and it was a storm again. We got to have a modicum of revenge. It was a 3-0 win for the Belfast Giants. Two goals in the first period, this time Josh Roach and Travis Brown. That's four D-men scoring. In the first period across the two games. Blake Spears getting the empty netter to round it off 3-0. In nets, Tyler Biscarani, 32 shot shutout. Evan Venegar, 32 shots on. Two goals against. Daniel Ferguson, David Good were your two referees. Says a few players back on the side, you see, like, you know, David Goodwin coming back, and it seemed to make a difference.
It was a very scrappy game. Yeah. You know, there was long passages of play that, you know, we penned them in on occasion. I think it was, you know, I think we got three changes on at least twice in the second period. You know, I thought that we controlled the game. I thought we managed the game really well. They had a couple of opportunities on the power play earlier on. Besco played well. Again, defensively, I commented on numerous occasions how good I thought the partnership with Roach and Baum was settling in. I thought they'd played really well together. I'd actually wrote on a bit of paper, probably 20 minutes in, not even at the end of the first period, that Jeff Baum, man of the match. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And it's, you know, when you, he's obviously scored a goal last Wednesday night. I think he's been brilliant this year. And I'm going to be honest. I said this again, Davey was with me on the webcast on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if he's our MVP this year. I really wouldn't.
I think he's been that good.
He's been consistently good. He said, I missed a couple of games with injuries, and he's probably come back a wee bit too early because he sees the guys are desperate to get guys back, but he doesn't skip a beat. And since Roachie's come back in the lineup as well, I do like the way we're playing defensively, because I always like the offensive-minded defenseman. You know, Roachie's not afraid to jump up into the play, and he did that on occasion on Sunday as well. But look, it's always important to try and get the first goal at home. You've got another big sold-out crowd. I was actually listening to a podcast from the States during the week, and it literally was saying there, you know, it's unacceptable for players not to give an effort when you've got a sold-out barn and people turning up to watch you in your own building, and not you don't turn up. Now, we've had disappointing performances this year at home when there's been big, big crowds in, and I was just really happy, again, to get that first goal the other night, and obviously followed up by Travis Brown, who was just Johnny on the spot to make it 2-0. We need to start taking advantage, and offensively, we have struggled this year. There's make no mistake about it.
And I didn't even notice it, Paddy, until you mentioned it there a few minutes ago. Four of our last five goals have been scored by defensemen.
Yeah.
It's okay. Travis Brown is playing forward, so we'll, you know, say 3.5. But, you know, you've got those. It's a concern that right now we're not scoring enough goals. I said it a few weeks ago when we were going to pump somebody, and we did. And it is going to come down the line where, again, we're going to score a lot of goals one night when we just click. But it needs to be on a consistent basis, because if it's not, on occasion, if our top line isn't going, a lot of the time we struggle.
Pause that.
Go on. Well, we can't. I've got it. What do you want?
Can't you got? This is the bar down. David Goodwin, this disallowed says, and we had a lot of discussion about this on the webcast. Obviously, they went to Coach's Challenge on it, and you're playing straight from the red. That's in the Dropbox as well, mate.
No, I didn't realize it was the Dropbox, mate.
So here, Oliver Cooper's outside the blue paint. He doesn't back in. If anything, Venner goes and makes contact with him. The puck's in the back of net night before there's really any contact. I don't know, Simon, did you get any further with what was actually was disallowed for? Go on.
Goaltender interference.
Right, so Paddy, if you go, have you access quickly to the Dropbox to the Casebook that I stuck in? Well, I talk about Jeff Baum while you're looking that up. Simon's saying about I would never try and analyze someone's skating or stick handling and say it's improved or it's got worse. But just notably on Sunday night, his skating, his tight turns, his edges were so good on Sunday night. His stick handling. Remember the little one, Simon, down behind the net, the left? He has a little, sees the forward coming in, has a little look that way, then does a little deep going this way, draws a penalty. He looks like he's playing with a certain amount of swagger right there at the minute. Love to see it, and I just think I'd throw my hat in the Jeff Baum MVP. He's been very, very good this season, consistent, has dug in through, as you all know, Simon, and probably said there, you know, there's probably games he could have chosen to sit out of with things himself and goes to work every night for the boys, and he loves this town, and this town should love him straight back. But anyway, have you got the Casebook there?
No, mate, I've Dropbox set up. I've got nothing extra.
Hang on, see if I can
if you can stick present. It up there, go
for it. I might not be able to, but...
But goalie interference, I see that's just come... Sorry?
I'm just looking at that play from the overhead camera. And OC is out of the paint. If anything, the goalie makes contact with him, and he's just basically causing a screen. The referee instantly called no goal. And I was sitting looking at it again. We you know, Davey and I were sort of watching the replay, and I just caught him out the side of my eye immediately that the referee had basically waved no goal. And I said, Davey, look, this looks like a good review. And I thought that we had. When it's if the referee calls no goal, and it is that, you know, that, I mean, by the way, what a shot from David Goodman. I mean, that was absolutely top cheese. But I thought that the referee can then go to look at it, which doesn't seem to be the case. Adam then called his coaching, basically said to go to the screen. He wanted to basically call a coaching challenge, which means that we then go on shorthanded. So you're not only getting penalized for losing the goal, which... By the looking of that from the overhead camera, OC doesn't do anything wrong. OC's standing where Adam expects him to stand, screening the goalie. You can see it here. Watch him. He has a little look down there, standing right on top of the line itself. And the goalie comes out, and Veninger's a good goalie, make no mistake about it. But he comes out, maybe smartly, there's, you can see it right now, and he makes contact with OC, if anything. So I was surprised to see. Actually, let me rephrase that. I wasn't surprised to see it disallowed because the referee doesn't want to go back on his first decision unless it's clear. But to me, that looks clear from the overhead camera that OC does nothing wrong.
Did you find your...
I don't think it can... I wonder, can I do it this way? Hang on.
Just add it in.
I don't know where. I don't know how to add it in, Paddy. Let's be honest. I'm an old fossil.
Two weeks to you run the show, Davey. I'm on holiday.
Let's see what happens here. Let's see what happens. This isn't the ideal way of showing it, but situation 5C, this is the IIHF rule book. When you go through the things about goaltender interference, you can go to situationals. And a situation here, 5C, if an attacking player skates in front of the goalkeeper outside the crease at the same time as a goal is being scored, the attacking player remains in motion and impairs the goaltender's ability to defend their goal, the goal is allowed. So as long as he's outside that crease, even if he makes incidental contact with the goaltender, the goal should be allowed. So it didn't matter at the heels of the hunt, but I think they got the call wrong. Happy to be corrected by one of our friends in Stripes, but I don't see what the I just think that a mistake.
It's one of those, isn't it? Where were we? So yeah, but a 3-0 zip, sorry, 3-0 win at home says the take like that is, considering the way that we went on Wednesday, is a bit of a tonic considering, you know, the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's been important to try and get those wins, especially at home. We need to start picking up more wins at home. We've our record at home this year hasn't been fantastic compared to what it normally is. But, you know, when you go on the road and you've got, I think it's 10 home games we've got left between now and the end of the season. You know, it's important we try and take advantage of the crowd getting behind you, because the crowd have been absolutely fantastic. And if we can do that and pick up, you know, individual wins every time we play, we're going to be in a better place moving forward. Also great to see Blake Spears getting his first goal, and Teague as well. So he's a good player, by the way. He is a really good player.
Very impressive.
And just want to go back a wee bit on what Davey touched on, what he thought about Bomber and his, you know, his skating ability and his edges. He puts a lot of work into that. I watch him at every single practice. He literally puts four pucks right in front of the benches, and he'll basically go on his inside edges and his outside edges with one foot, go round and round and round, and he spends so much time on that every single practice.
So is it a fair comment then that he's improved?
Absolutely, 100%.
And he's putting the effort in, and that's paying dividends. I didn't want to presume and say Jeff Baum's got better. That's not my place to say that. But I feel like just watching him, he's become a better skater.
Bomber's one of the first on the ice every single day. He's also the guy that warms the goalies up. And let's be honest, I mean, when you have three goalies out there and they're all taking probably 6 or 7 minutes shots to get warmed up, that's a lot of shots that he's taken. It also helps that he's got 5 goals this year, has he? Which is obviously, you know, important as well. But I love him. I absolutely love him. I think he's a great guy in the room. He's a great guy off the ice as well. And you know what he brings to the setup for our team is top notch. And again, I get to see what he does. I'm sitting on the bench on Saturday morning before the game. Sorry, Sunday morning. He would come in for a morning skate and literally, you know, just watching him doing his edge work, and he's absolutely brilliant at it. So yeah, I think it's thoroughly deserved that he could potentially be, well, if I've got to vote for him for an MVP, and we've got a down the line, he'll definitely be getting my vote this year.
I think it's a really good shout, Sis. I think he's been really, really impressive this season. Like you say, he came back from that injury, and we said it at the time, he seemed to come back from that injury maybe a bit too early, as you said, and he hit the ground running. He hit the ground running. He was one of the best players on the ice, which was fantastic to see. Really was fantastic to see. Let's get the thoughts of the coaches from Sunday postgame.
I can't blame our guys. I thought we battled, we competed, lost a couple bodies in the game there, and against a team that was well rested, and we had a travel day today. A lot of hockey here, but what I liked is we got down early and kind of a seeing eye puck there on the power play, and they got another one. But instead of hanging our heads, we kept pushing. I thought Besko played really well, made some saves, hit a couple posts, and just didn't really have any puck luck tonight. Couldn't find a way to get that first one over the line. But overall, I thought it was a good hockey game, back and forth. Two teams that competed really hard out there. Was not a lot of open ice. And those are the type of games that you'll see kind of the rest of the way out. I think those kind of playoff type games. And again, not disappointed with my guys with the effort. I think we play like that a lot of nights. We'll find a result, but it just wasn't meant to be.
I think every night is tough, first of all. But I thought Manchester came out well. You know, I think sometimes playing the night before actually helps. You just you just play another game. Whereas, you know, we had a complete day off yesterday. Hard to get ice in Northern Ireland on a Saturday. So the guys got some rest yesterday, and we skated this morning. And I thought it took us a few shifts to really get going, and I thought Besko was real solid there early on. There was a couple point shots were bouncing off things, but he was solid there and gave us some time to find our feet. And I thought the power play got us going. Some real big penalty kills. Obviously a big goal by Travis Brown, right? You know, he's filling in on forward for us and had a big game for us. Some huge blocks on the penalty kill. Penalty kill went 5 for 5. It's an area of that's not been the best as of late for us, but tonight it was huge. You know, so special teams was the difference again tonight, and you know, it was certainly the difference on Wednesday for Manchester. So that's probably the difference between the both games.
One other point from this is neck guards and the referee giving a penalty for no neck guard.
Yeah, there was a penalty called in the, I believe it was the second period. I think it was Matt Murphy that got the call. But Davey and I was following the puck. The puck was at the other end. But Davey kept on seeing the referee pointing at the player. And it was basically, the penalty was coming across as illegal equipment at once it was called. But the referee looked like he was warning him to basically do his neck guard up after, obviously, the new rule came in the 1st of January, that you've got to have your neck guard tied up and it's got to be on at all times. I then got a text from Luke Fisher and let me know what the call was. And it was it's the first penalty I've seen of it now being called. But a lot of the guys, a lot of our guys especially, have the it's like a T-shirt with the neck guard on it. So it sort of stays in place, whereas some guys have only got the neck guard. It's not the most comfortable thing to wear, but if it's going to help the game regarding safety levels, then I'm all for it. But there was, Matt Murphy called for illegal use of equipment, and it was coming down to the neck guard. And does say, Davey seen him pointing at the player a couple of times. And I think he gave him every opportunity to basically get it done. I don't know if he has to leave the ice to go and get it done, and then he wouldn't leave, and that's why he was called. That's still a bit of a gray area. But it did look like the referee gave him every opportunity to do the neck guard up, and obviously he ended up calling the penalty because it wasn't done.
Davey?
Listen, this equipment, especially neck guard, will develop over time in the quality and stuff of it at the minute. Well, I don't see how that's going to change, but it's just a little Velcro in the back of the neck there, and it's obviously popped loose. The ref, I think in this instance, is credit. Me and Simon were trying to guess. I was trying to guess tonight, had his helmet came off and we hadn't noticed he hadn't gone straight had he a broken stick in his hand. I was trying to think of illegal equipment infractions. But the ref was clearly going off, you know, get. And which I think, with this being quite a new rule, is how I would want it to be implemented, without it being you're straight off for it.
Yeah.
Going, get your neck guard done up there, come back on. And obviously he didn't, and he's got called for it. I think the Manchester Storm captain was pretty animated about it being a penalty. I don't know whether in this instance should they be blowing the play dead and going to both benches and going, like, this is a warning, lads, make sure everything's done up, or whether you go, it's a tough one, Simon. You know?
I don't think so, Davey. I think it's been made very clear from my understanding.
Okay, I don't obviously know. I don't know exactly how it's been relayed.
I think it's the same as a helmet. If you basically lose your helmet, you're not allowed to just, you've got to get off the ice. So if your neck guard comes loose, I think it's along the same lines. You've got to get off the ice and get your neck guard. And I'm pretty sure that's why he was called, because he wouldn't go off the ice.
Yeah. Was he aware?
I mean, obviously we can't hear what the referee's saying from where we were, but was he aware that that's undone and it was sort of coming loose? I don't know. The only person that'll be able to answer that is Matt Murphy. My understanding is, if it's the same as you lose your helmet, I think you're allowed to grab your helmet if it's on the way to the bench, but you're not allowed not allowed to go back and grab it and then go to the bench. You're not allowed to lift it and put it on and continue in the play. But I think it's the same sort of line, that everybody's well aware of what the rules are. Some might forget about it. I don't know, but on the situation, I think the referee gave him every opportunity to do the neck guard back up again. And obviously, he was called for because he didn't do it.
To be fair, from our own end, I've heard Taff going down before the game to do it up, do it up, do it up. You know, no, and warm up as well. No excuses, boys. Get it done. And so he's making sure that the warm up and the train. So as the play, so they just get used to him. It's a bit of equipment that will need evolution, because as Simon said, it's cumbersome. It's new to them, but obviously it's something that's going to be. We'll discuss, I'm sure, more in the future.
And that's it. When a new rule, you know, it's an expansion of an existing rule. But when a new rule like that comes in, you want to see the referee sort of have understand there's a grey area where players will try to understand, you know, how it comes in and how it comes out.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's crack on. But the highlights from that game are available from our very good friends at Belfast Giants TV, and the commentary from the two gentlemen here was excellent, as it always is. Right. Shane Long's interview, we have them. I'm going to be chatting to him tomorrow, and we'll be sharing with that. First of all, I'll stick it on the brand new WhatsApp channel for AVF TV. So if you want to get the first of that, it'll be on the AVF TV WhatsApp channel tomorrow, and then it'll follow on Thursday on all our shows on Thursday morning. Let's chat with Shane, with Shane Owen, where I'm going to be talking about, you know, his time in Belfast, CHL times, so going back to Fife, and you know. So we'll chat to him tomorrow, and we'll share it on our WhatsApp channel, and then it'll be on the socials on Thursday morning. He was unfortunately unable to join us tonight. Right, a couple of things. I asked a couple of people asked if anybody had any questions. Let's have a tackle a couple of them that had come in on Twitter. Mark McLaughlin, what can be done to improve refereeing in the league? We aren't the only ones complaining about the poor calls against us. The ref need more support as well. But it's tough at times. Could miking them up help, or more investment in training and oversight? Dollar,
mate. While these guys are on, I don't know what the financial incentive is to do, but they're all, as far as I know, there's none of them are full time professional hockey referees. You know yourself, the more investment in things, the more investment in training camps, the more investment in seminars and lessons learned. I don't know whether that's put into, I don't know whether the goal, for example, that's ruled out, is put into a refereeing WhatsApp group or a refereeing, you know, group-wide email. This is why we disallowed it. And then Mike Hicks maybe says, well, this is what you could have done, or good call or bad call or whatever. I don't know what the lessons learned are, but everything will ultimately come down to the ability to pay for those kind of things. So I don't think referees are badly paid, don't get me wrong, but I don't think there's certainly not enough money in it to make it a living.
I'm looking to see, trying to find out which episode it was we had Andy Dalton on the show, because remember he spoke at that time about trying also investing in referees to make them sort of semi-professional and giving them that sort of time, that it isn't just, you know, it isn't just like turn up and get your expenses, try to put some financial investment into giving that. And that's something that, you know, and we heard Tom Darnell on the 3-on-3 podcast, you know, saying about more investment in the referees as well. Says,
I'm not allowed to comment.
Listen,
I think Davey's got a point. You know, I've been critical of the officials, and I think it's fair to say, but I know they have a tough job. It's just frustrating when things happen that, you know, you want the game to flow as smoothly as possible. And, you know, I thought they actually did a decent job on Sunday. You know, they've got the, I don't know where they've got the kid, Frederic Monet. I don't know if he's a swap from Belgium or France or whatever. I really don't know. He seems to be a good, decent addition to the linesman this year. it's just, I think Davey's right. It needs investment. But it's a difficult thing to invest in, because you need to be bringing, you know, look, we bring the NCAA officials over here for the French Four. They're going to be here again in October. Is that an opportunity? Will they do like a training camp with them? Yes, they will. Absolutely. They've offered it before. I don't know how easy or how much money it would cost to bring, you know, all the officials over here to listen to the NCAA officials who have, you know, have a lot of experience. A lot of them have refereed in the AHL, the ECHL, and then they also do the NCAA as well. So I don't know if it's something that they can maybe do with that. I really don't know how much if there's seminars, if there's coaching for referees during the season, or if it's just something at the start of the season, I really don't know. But if there's money that can be invested into it, then it absolutely should be. I think it's one of those ones where, you know, nobody's going to turn down. If anybody turns down development of the officials, then they need to be have a word in their ear, because the whole EIHL has got better. The officials, again, I just think that should be a lot more development in them to try and help them on their roles or in their roles within referees and games.
I'll say one other thing in closing, Paddy. None of these referees in the EIHL certainly are becoming millionaires at the back of this. They're in it for the love of the game. Now, they mightn't love Belfast, and they mightn't like traveling to Belfast, and they mightn't each might have personal teams that they like or dislike a little bit more, and whether that affects them or not, that's irrelevant. Their intentions are good in that they love the game of hockey the same way we love the game of hockey. And I said it before the start of the game on Sunday with Simon as well, no refs, no game, they are part of the furniture, and they're to be respected, and that's to be reciprocal.
One from Kev Madden. Has the league taken a step back this year by not having a TV deal?
Who do you want to answer that first?
Whoever wants to go first on that one. Personally, yeah. Go on, Sis. I thought you were putting your hand up.
These things aren't easy to organise. Obviously, the league being sponsored in the last couple of years by Viaplay, it was great. Would be like the games to be shown on Sky Sports. Would we like them to be shown on BBC Red Button? Would like them to be shown I'd love them to be shown permanently, absolutely. I think it'd be great for the game, but these things take time. When you lose a sponsor like Viaplay, who, you know, that's their business, and it's not just losing the sponsorship deal, it's literally they clamp down with everything they do in the UK now. I think they only do a couple of sprinkling of different events. But it's always going to be difficult. Obviously, our friend Brooksy now is commercial director over there, and I'd be very surprised if he's not working hard trying to get something done.
I agree.
Like, I just think it takes a bit of time. It is, you know, yes, it'd be ideal. But then you also look at the opportunity that the league, the teams have of making that extra income with regards to webcasts. That's an important revenue stream for all teams as well. And if you have, whether it's Viaplay, Setanta Sports, BBC, it doesn't matter who it is, if you had a TV deal coming in there and taking three or four or five games a season from one particular team, and, you know, it seemed to be getting a lot of the teams, like say, Cardiff got a lot of games, Sheffield got a lot of games, Nottingham got a lot of games, and, you know, it's easier to have the space to put a big bus out the side of all those arenas or a big truck out the side of those arenas to have the production company put in place. But it's by all means, it would be fantastic if we could. And as I say, I'd be very surprised that Brooksy and the IHL guys behind the scenes aren't trying to get something done, whether for the remainder of the season or the playoffs or maybe just next season. I really don't know where we are with that right now.
It's interesting because, like, we all want better exposure for this league. We remember the comments from Tony Smith years ago that this is the best kept secret in sport, in UK sport, and frustrating because you think, well, you've got the opportunity, you've got the resource behind you to try to make that not the case. We are, and you also see a great crowd in Manchester midweek, a phenomenal crowds in Belfast over the last couple of months. You know, the actual interest is certainly there, and getting the further exposure and getting TV exposure, getting news exposure, but the problem we have at times, and I've said this before, is that sometimes the coverage is social media, and that's fine. That's fine. The social media is a tool there to be used, but sometimes you feel that if you weren't on Twitter, if you weren't on Facebook, if you weren't on YouTube or that, there's very few places you'd get some real updates on what's going on. You hear it on Radio Ulster, you hear the scores from time to time, you sometimes hear Cool FM, obviously, with the links there, but it's frustrating at times because there is a product there that is going from strength to strength that could be getting wider exposure. And there's no doubt that Brooksy's working hard on that, Luke Fisher's working hard on that, Mike Hicks is working hard on that. The league overall, from an infrastructure point of view, is improving. Hopefully, moving forward, we find that next level. Is it a YouTube magazine show? Is it links with the BBC? But it doesn't come like that. It really doesn't. And I know that there's people that are saying, you know, why don't we have like a game center for all the streams? Again, it doesn't happen like that when the streams are being run by a whole load of different organizations or different, you know, guys who are set. You've Pete Ballinger in Coventry. You've got the guys in Dundee Stars TV. You've got our great setup that we have at Giants TV. It doesn't just that you go all pool together and say, listen, we're going to sell this on the cheap to everybody, because that's not how this happens. It isn't how it happens. This is a revenue stream for all clubs, and they all produce their own product. And that's why you get the product that you do, and great product that it is, because without the streams, well, I wouldn't be able to watch most if not all of the Belfast Giants home games. Buy this one, can't wait to get home. But it is frustrating that there's not a TV deal. But what that TV deal is and how it benefits the league is the most important part of it, and we'll see what comes forward.
I just think it's again that, you know, there's a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed when it comes to these things, I guess. And it just takes time to get it sorted. I just feel that, you know, the IHL have made massive strides over the last few years in a lot of different areas. Again, putting Brooksy in spot in place with commercial directors are great spot as well. He's a good guy, 100%. And he'll basically do whatever he can to make it better again moving forward in the next year. But it's always a difficult when you don't see the product. I mean, I think I can't remember where I seen it, but I think there was 50,000 fans for the IHL games this past weekend. And for like, I'm not demeaning any other sports, but you know, when you see the likes of netball, or you see the likes of our sports on Sky Sports, I just don't get it. I just can't.
I do. At all. I do. I like, it's because the likes of netball are more easy facilitated, as in you pick up a ball, you throw it in a net, and every school can have it, every playground can have it, and that, whereas hockey isn't that sort of game that is easy to get into. So the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of schools play netball. Thousands upon thousands of schools play basketball, thousands upon thousands play football, and therefore it's probably easier for the likes of Sky to basically put that on and know they're going to get a higher audience. Whereas ice hockey, as big of the crowds are, it's not going to be one that instantly comes. And with all due respect to the product that's put on, it is much better in person than it is on television.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about that. But it's a great question, and hopefully, you know, I know that Brooksy and all those guys are working hard, and we'll see what comes of it. You know, there's real opportunity there. The tools are there to do it, and hopefully we see better stuff from in the seasons coming forward. Right, we're going to crack on. Thanks to everybody. There's a couple more questions that are on YouTube, on Twitter and the likes, and in true Davey McGimsey fashion, I will answer those after the show. Big shout out to Neil, the coach Russell. And let's quickly run you through little bits of news. I was going to do the DOPS. We didn't do the DOPS last week, but I'm not going to do it now because it doesn't really matter. Felix Parry got a headbutt, three games, but I can be honest, going to do that, to be honest with you. Go and have a look at it on the website. there have been 14 games played since we last recorded a View from the Bridge last week, including a full suite of fixtures last Wednesday night. Cardiff continued their winning streak with two victories over 5-1 over Dundee. I believe they're now 12 games unbeaten as they head into Nottingham on Wednesday night before a top of the table clash against the runaway Steelers on Saturday back at the Kyle Bonn Arena. Sheffield themselves also had a six-point week, shutting out Guildford at home, beating Nottingham 6-4 at home, and then returning to Guildford for a come-from-behind win to take the points in a feisty and physical affair. Sheffield's march on the title continues undaunted. The Blaze traded wins with the Clan, both holding at home, though the Clan took an extra point from the OT loss in Coventry. An OT game between the Clan and Coventry, who would have thought? Danny Stewart's side went on to compound Guildford's build-up to the Cup final with a 3-2 win at the Sky Dome. Nottingham took two wins this week, both at home, 5-1 over Dundee and 3-2 in overtime over Fife. They seem to be getting a bit of wind in their sails, Davey, just as the Giants prepare to come in this Sunday.
Yep.
Tyler Henlon gets number three in the goals of the week from the league. Final point there. Geneva defeated Skellefteå 3-2 in tonight's Champions Hockey League final to become champions of Europe. Congratulations to them. One last thing to do before we have a quick look at the games is the league table. As you can imagine, Sheffield still 14 points up on the Cardiff Devils. They become the first team to qualify for the playoffs. 69 points from 38 games. 37 games played by Cardiff, and it's 55 points. Then we're 46. We're, 9 points back within the game extra played. Guildford are just behind us on 43 points. Coventry 42. Dundee in sixth on 38, as are level pegging with the Manchester Storm on 38, which I don't understand because Dundee have fewer regulation wins. Don't know how that works. Surely Manchester Storm should be above the Dundee Stars. Anyway, Glasgow 35 points from 38 games, Fife 35 points from 41 games, and Nottingham 31 points from 36 games. This weekend's games for the Belfast Giants. We are at home on Saturday night at 7 p.m. to the Fife Flyers at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there or follow it on Giants TV. And then we travel on Sunday 4 p.m. at the NIC to take on the Nottingham Panthers. If you're not traveling over that, you'll be able to join Jono and Dan Green on Panthers TV. Any other business, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Oh, there's one. Yes, sorry. Go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say Saturday's game is a special game because it's the Cowboy Night.
Yeehaw!
Cowboy Night for Belfast Giants.
Let's go!
And it's a big shout out to the Jeff's Bombs senior and junior, but most specifically the senior one.
Well, yeah, Jeff Bomb and Autoplex Customs are sponsoring the game on Saturday. They're going to have quite a few things going on. I don't think I'm allowed to say it just now, so I don't want to give it away. But he's got a few giveaways to hand out, as Jeff Bomb, you know, loves to do. But one thing we have up for grabs is an Autoplex Customs baseball cap signed by Sheldon Keefe and Adam Keefe. It's on our AVFTB site, or Twitter, and all that nonsense now. So please go along and buy raffle tickets from it. It all profits, after you take out the raffle site fees, all profits will be split between Alzheimer's Society and the Cancer Fund for Children. So thanks again to Jeff for organizing that cap, and obviously to Sheldon and Adam. Don't think there's too many things that have been signed directly by those two guys, but it's up for grabs, and hopefully we can raise a few more extra pounds to put in the coffers of our two recognised charities this year. But yeah, looking forward to it. We've quite a few things happening, and again, I don't want to say what is happening. That's up to our comms team to put that out, and then they'll probably put that out in the next couple of days. It'll be really interesting to see how to take on it. But there's some cracker things happening.
There's that cap signed by the Keefe brothers. Get on raffle on the raffle is through the socials. You can get on the Belfast Giants and the View from the Bridge Twitter account and get involved in that. Anything else, gents?
Nope.
One I want to mention is little Felicity Clark. There's talk that she's going to get home from hospital soon. Felicity was born, what are you pointing at, Simon?
I've one more thing, sorry, just remember.
All right, Felicity was born, it was just about a 1 pound in weight, tiny, born very, very premature. In fact, I think I'm going to say she was born at like something mad, like 24, 25 weeks or something, and she's been in hospital for like 16 weeks, and she's really only coming up to her due date, up to about 5 pounds. Mum and dad, massive Jimmy and Jimmy Clark, massive Belfast Giants fans, so... hopefully, brilliant. It'll be good news, and Felicity will be probably not in the arena this season, Simon, but I'm sure we look forward to welcoming her. I have no doubt in September, October time, when she's coming up on a year old, she'll be draped in some teal and taken down the arena. So, Jamie and Felicity and the rest of the family, good news. Look forward to seeing you at the rink.
Fantastic.
Just one last thing. I could kind of remember how I forgot about this wee man. Wee Blake's in hospital.
Yes.
He's in Birmingham right now. He's getting a lot of tests done. We are thinking about you, man. Hope you're okay. I seen him on Friday night, and he's just the wee man's just a legend. So hopefully you get everything done very, very quickly and you get back to watch the games again. I know you had to put through my commentary on Sunday with Davey, so sorry about that. But I know he'll be going buck mad on his bed in the hospital right now. So love you, wee man. Hope you're okay, and we'll speak to you soon.
That's cool, Blake.
Here.
I was reading what's going on. I was reading Christine's post.
Unreal,
just insane what that wee man is willing to, you know, hang in with. It's superb. So and like, pray like for wisdom for those doctors and all that are going to do this kind of stuff, and the other families that are involved in this kind of thing. Just it's insane what humanity can do in terms of like clinical stuff. It's amazing, and we hope medical it goes science, really, man. Really well for medical science, Paddy. That's what the medical word I was science. Looking for.
I said
clinical magic. Medical science is probably medical a better
science,
term.
Medical science. I always said it's an absolutely phenomenal thing. Like I don't think my two parents would be around at this moment in time if it wasn't for medical science. You know, it's phenomenal what they can do. So yes, we were thinking of Blake and all those guys at this moment in time. So yep, fantastic. Right, two games, I said. Giants at home to the Flyers. Can't wait to get that myself. Saturday, 7 p.m., SSE Arena, Giants TV. Says, I'm not going to be in any place to join you because I'm going out in the afternoon. So I'll pop up and say hello. But it's my brother's birthday. Happy birthday to our Jarlath, but it's next week. But I'll not be in any position to...
That's fine. David says he's coming home again. So I'll sort that out.
Are you coming?
I'll be hopefully getting in the truck on Sunday, but up to Nottingham.
All right, how it is. Yeah, that game Saturday, 7 p.m. SSE Arena, and then Panthers against the Giants on Sunday at 4 p.m. And join Jono and Dan Green for that on Panthers TV. Big thanks to Kieran Long for joining us. Big thanks to everybody who's been interacting with the show through all this on the chat box and on Twitter. Big thanks to you two gents, as always. You get us at AVFTV on Twitter. You can get us Facebook. You can get us on Twitter and YouTube and all that sort of stuff. What on earth's a WhatsApp channel, asked Jimmy Taylor.
You'll put the link on Twitter, Paddy, yeah?
I'll put the link on Twitter, Jimmy. I'll put the link on Twitter. You'll be able to find that there. It's you can get us on our WhatsApp channel. Or you search for it as well on WhatsApp, you'll be able to find it. We'll try to use it and try to put little bits and pieces on there, and we'll stick the Shane Owen interview or parts of it up before we stick it on our socials. So catch that tomorrow evening. And all with that, gents, I'll see you at the weekend. Says I'll see you soon, Davey. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Sports Social Podcast Network.